on air for Fanfare Racing's NASCAR weekend preview, and we will not have Hot Topics on our podcast for this week. But joining me for our show today is Andy Lasky. Welcome to the show, Andy.
Thank you, Sharon. This would be the Friday morning coffee edition of Fanfare Racing, but certainly looking forward to talking about Darlington.
Yes, indeed. We're doing a podcast this week due to time schedules, and we will be having our Monday night show on Tuesday next week. So be sure to tune in at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time for our Tuesday broadcast of our NASCAR race review. And we will have hot topics on Tuesday night. So with that, Andy, let's go ahead and get into our ARCA racing updates. We've got a couple of series that are not racing this weekend, the ARCA Menards Series East and the ARCA Menards Series West. The next race for that group is going to be September the 11th. That's next weekend at the Portland 112 at the Grand Prix of Portland for the ARCA West. So that's 5 p.m. Pacific time, which means it's going to be about 8 p.m. Eastern time, Andy.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one, I think. As you mentioned, it's a Grand Prix. It's a road course race, so that should be a fun one to look forward to. The ARCA series, actually all three ARCA series, always put on some pretty fantastic racing, so we'll have that to look forward to next week.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and give the points for the ARCA West. It's at the top of the page here. I don't know if you've got it up or not, but hopefully it's coming up here from my screen.
Yeah, taking a look at the ARCA West series, I've got Jesse Love as the points leader, Cole Moore second, Jake Drew third, Todd Souza in fourth, and Paul Pedroncelli Jr., I hope I pronounced that right, is in fifth.
Perfect.
So that's what I'm showing for the ARCA Menards West Series point standings. And, of course, Jesse Love's having quite a year. It's, been good for him, and he's the current points leader. So certainly things going well there.
Exactly. Only 2 points between him and Cole Moore. 5 races into the season, so I believe they have 4 more races left. So only 20 points between the number 5 driver, Paul Pedroncelli Jr., and Jesse Love, the points leader. So this is a kind of a tight race right here.
It is. It is very tight, and that's what's going to make this exciting going down the stretch here in the fall to close out the season. So we'll certainly keep an eye on this series. I think that the championship battle could easily come down to that last race, and we always dream about that, you know, that type of scenario. So it'll be fun to see how that unfolds.
Okay, and the next 5 drivers will include the top 10, and there's only 10 drivers that have raced all 5 races this season.
Yeah, that's been the interesting thing is we've had a lot of drivers that have only run a limited schedule. But looking at the top 10 here, the rest of the top 10, I should say, Joey Est is in 6th, Trevor Huddleston in 7th, Bridget Burgess in 8th, Takuma Koga in 9th, and then Bobby Hillis Jr. rounds out the top 10. So, pretty interesting battle there. And to your point, a lot of drivers have run limited schedules this year. So, that makes it, certainly tight. What's made it interesting about that is the fact that so few drivers have run the full schedule that the championship battle is as tight as it is. And so, it's going to be fun to see how that all works out.
Yeah, and actually the West is probably one of the better series. They have more participants that are still in the game, if you will. You've got the tie between Takuma Koga and Bobby Hillis Jr. They're both tied at 54 points back from the leader for that 9th and 10th spot. But as we move on here, you'll see that it becomes fewer and fewer people that have participated in all the races. Because the points are just so close between those few people. So this one, I think, is one of the more interesting ones because you've got more players involved in that points battle and for jockeying for position within the top 10 there. So I think that's pretty cool.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
It is pretty cool.
Let's go ahead and talk about the ARCA East because their next race is actually going to be in 2 weeks. They'll be racing the Busch Beans 200 at September the 16th. That'll be 6:30 p.m. Eastern time, and they'll be at Bristol Motor Speedway. So that one will be televised on Fox Sports 1. I don't know if I mentioned it, but the West race is actually going to be on NBC Sports Gold Track Pass, but anybody who does not have that, you can still go to arcaracing.com, and they will have coverage, radio coverage, to keep you up to date with what's going on during the race. Now, the other thing about this East race is that's going to be a companion race with the ARCA Menards Series, and it's also going to be a Sioux Chief Showdown race. So I believe it's race 9 of the Sioux Chief Showdown. So 3 points opportunities, 2 series, 1 track. So it's really kind of an interesting scenario they've got here with the ARCA East and the ARCA Menards Series working together.
And you said that's at Bristol, so that's actually most likely part of the NASCAR weekend in a couple weeks. So
yes.
They'll have which is a big opportunity for these drivers to any time they can run a companion event with, you know, any of the national series, it's always a big deal because it gives these drivers more exposure and they're on a bit of a bigger stage, if you will. So, you know, those companion events with Bristol are certainly going to be fun to watch. We always know how exciting Bristol is anyway. You know, so that's a good stage for these ARCA Menards East drivers to go out there and perform in front of perhaps even more people than normal. So certainly a big stage.
Okay, with 7 races in for the ARCA Menards Series East, let's go ahead and cover the points there.
Yeah, points leader is Sammy Smith, and he's actually got a pretty sizable lead, 343 points over to 319, which is Daniel Dye, who's also had a good season in second. Mason Diaz is in third. Joey Est is fourth. Max Gutierrez in the top 5. So certainly been a really good season for these drivers, in particular, of course, Sammy Smith and Daniel Dye, who have been up front the better part of the season.
Yeah, Mason Diaz was there. Daniel's been in third, but Mason Diaz dropped back to third just this past weekend because he kind of ran into some issues at the track. But that's going to be a fun battle to watch because there is, what, only 7 points between Daniel Dye and Mason Diaz. Joey East is not that far behind. He's 5 points behind Mason in fourth place. And only 7 drivers have raced all 7 races this season. So Roger Carruth is that 6th guy from Rev Racing. And there's some news this week about Roger Carruth. Did you see that, Andy?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, actually. He'll go part-time Xfinity Series racing with Alpha Prime Motorsports, which was the former Tommy Joe Martin's Motorsports team. That's a new partnership between
Tommy Joe Martin and another person are joining forces, right?
Cesar Barcarella.
That's Baccarella. Yeah, he's going to be racing part of the races along with Roger Carruth.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's a pretty big opportunity, and that's a team that's looking to improve upon its current performance and looking to get better and expand and grow into the future. And so for Roger to get that opportunity to go Xfinity Series racing is a big deal. Anytime you get that opportunity and that phone call, it's a really big deal. So that's big news for him. It's big news for that team to announce their new partnership and their growth moving into 2022. So obviously big news for him, and hopefully we'll get him on here to talk about that at some point.
At some point, we're going to work on that. Now, Roger... I think along with that announcement, they announced that Roger would be racing full-time in the ARCA Menard Series next season for the championship with Rev Racing. So that's kind of cool news for Roger Caruth as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, a full-time opportunity to go out and race in the ARCA Menards. Is it the East or West Series, Sharon? Do you know?
He's in the East right now, but he'll be racing full-time in the ARCA, the main ARCA Series, ARCA Menards.
Okay, so that's a really good, and that's a really good opportunity for him to go out and run full-time next year, you know, to compete for a championship, to gain more experience, all the while competing part-time in the Xfinity Series, and that's only going to position himself to be better prepared for whatever future opportunities may be presented. So, yeah, really good opportunity for him, and certainly was happy to see that announcement this week.
Yes, indeed. Okay, now we'll move over to the pit box for the ARCA Menard Series because they have a race this weekend out at DeCoin State Fairgrounds in DeCoin, Illinois. We've got a really weird situation. Southern Illinois decided that they needed to have their own state fair versus the Illinois State Fair. So every year we have the Illinois State Fair and then we have the DeCoin State Fair. So the Southern Illinois 100 presented by Lucas Oil will be on Sunday, September the 5th. And they'll be racing at 8 p.m. local time, 9 p.m. Eastern time, and that will be televised on MAV TV, and fans can also watch that race on live streaming on NBC Sports Gold's Track Pass. Again, ARCA Menards always has the ARCARacing.com radio coverage as well. It is a one-mile clay oval, so this is on the dirt, or should I say the clay, 100 laps. Covering a distance of 100 miles. On Sunday, September the 5th, the garage will open at 11 a.m. Practice will take place at 4:15 p.m. and qualifying at 6 p.m. The race again will be 8 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So exciting to see these guys back at the track. This has been the busy time of year for the ARCA Menard Series. Corey Heim is definitely looking forward to this dirt race because if you remember a couple weeks ago, Ty Gibbs won at Michigan and then Corey Heim won at the Illinois State Fairgrounds, which was also a dirt race. So Ty Gibbs won last week. I forget where they were now, but he won last week again on a paved oval. And Ty Gibbs did, and now they're returning now to the dirt again at DeCoin, Illinois. So Corey Heim is ready to go at it at DeCoin.
Yeah, absolutely. What's interesting is, you know, certainly Ty Gibbs has received a lot of the highlights, you know, and the attention this year with his outstanding performances, but Corey Heim's right there. Gibbs, of course, is the points leader. I'll just take a look at that rundown real quick. But Corey Heim is in second and only 11 points back, which is really not that much. In fact, the next closest competitor, and Tad Moffitt, is 215 points back in third. So this is still a really tight points battle between first and second. And to your point, Sharon, this is a great opportunity for Corey to go out, potentially win, and get even closer to Ty Gibbs for that points lead. So it's going to be a fun battle
too,
to see.
Yeah, what's interesting here too, Andy, is that Ty Gibbs and Corey Heim are the only two drivers that have raced all 16 races so far this year. And there's only four races left in this series as well. So things are going to slow down a little bit heading into the fall. But yeah, this is still going to be fun to watch without a doubt.
Absolutely. No, it'll be a fun battle in the points lead, you know, with it being as tight as it is, it's really hard to say who's actually going to come out and win this championship. So it's going to be fun to watch. There's no doubt about that.
Exactly. Now, there's three drivers that have 15 races under their belt. Brad Smith in fifth, Nick Sanchez in fourth, and Thad Moffitt in third place. But they're all significantly back, so they're not in the battle, but they'll be jockeying for position. At least that and Nick will be trying to do everything they can to gain.
Yeah, they certainly will, and that's an important point to make note here, is even though these drivers in the middle to back part of the top 10 in points don't have a chance at the championship, anytime you can position yourself for a greater points position only helps the team out. And, you know, so there's going to be some jockeying for position to try to maybe get into the top 5 in points, for some other drivers, maybe even to get in the top 10 in points. So there's still plenty of racing to be done here, whether you're part-time or full-time. And certainly these last 4 races, you know, they're going to be fun because this is crunch time and we're getting down toward the end of the season, which that in itself is hard to believe. This year's gone so fast. I can't believe
really
we're already
does.
Talking championship and playoffs. It's just, it's been a fast year for sure.
Okay. So now then, because he hogged all 6 available bonus points at Milwaukee, I'm talking about Ty Gibbs, it was Milwaukee where he won last week, the Milwaukee Mile. In addition to winning the race, Gibbs has an 11-point lead, as you mentioned, over Heim heading into DeCoin this weekend. Gibbs' win at Michigan, when he won there, he had a 7-point lead over Heim before Heim won at Springfield to draw it more even at the top of the point standings. Now, the clay ovals at both Springfield and DeCoin are almost identical, so Heim's got to feel pretty confident going into this weekend's race. And it's been a little bit of a tit-for-tat there. Ty will win, and then Heim will win, and then Ty will win, and it's been going back and forth. Corey Heim, of course, is in the number 20 for Venturini Motorsports. He has a pair of top 5 finishes, and he's never finished outside the top 10 in the 4 dirt races dating back to 2019. So Gibbs, on the other hand, well, he's got 1 top 5 finish in his second place run a couple weeks ago at Springfield in his 3 dirt starts. The driver of the number 18 for Joe Gibbs Racing has never raced at DeCoin on that platform. So that hasn't stopped him, though, Andy. He's raced a lot of tracks he's never raced at before and won this year.
Talking about Ty Gibbs, you said?
Yes.
Yeah, it's been incredible. And, you know, to watch what he's been able to do in the ARCA series this year has been nothing short of outstanding. And to even touch upon his Xfinity Series racing, he's been outstanding there too. You don't see incredible talents like this come along very often. We call them, I think, generational talents or whatever you want to call them. But you know, you can't, whether you're a fan of his or not, you have to respect how talented he is, and he has an incredibly bright future in racing. You know, he's doing things that a lot of other drivers haven't been able to replicate yet, you know, and I think that he's just ahead of his years. And, you know, it's no surprise that he's been able to go out there and run really well in ARCA, and I think that progression won't stop there. So, yeah, it's been impressive, to say the least.
Okay, a couple of other notes here with regard to the race this weekend is that Ty Gibbs will not have a teammate, similar to what happened at Illinois State Fairgrounds. But Heim is going to have 2 teammates to work with. Yeah, Jesse Love will be in the number 15 for Venturini Motorsports, and Tony Breidinger will be in the number 25 at Venturini. So 2 teammates for Corey Heim will give him a little bit of an advantage as well. And another big note, this name will sound familiar to you, Andy. A notable entry at DeCoin this weekend is the veteran and fan favorite Kenny Schrader. 66-year-old will make his first ARCA Menard Series start since 2019. So that's going to be huge down there in southern Illinois. Kenny Schrader is a big-time fan favorite. 4-time ARCA winner at his home track. He'll be racing Sunday for Andy Hillenburg as part of his attempt at the DeCoin Triple. He also plans to race in both the USAC Silver Crown Ted Horn 100 and the Aldani Memorial Modified race at the track over the weekend. So also dirt track ringer Ryan Unzinger is also entered at DuQuoin. He's from El Paso, Illinois, and he's looking to make up for his disappointing finish at his home track at Springfield. He finished 13th because of radiator issues that took him out of the race after 23 laps. Unzinger has 21 ARCA Series starts dating back to 2003, and all but one, Salem in 2003, have come on the dirt at either Springfield or DuQuoin. He was actually last year's defending winner at the Illinois State Fairgrounds, so that was a huge disappointment for him to finish 13th.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to see Kenny Schrader still racing. He's still having fun. We see him do a lot of dirt track racing, some of these ARCA events, certainly not slowing down at 66 years old and having a fun time doing it. So cool to see him still out there and having a good time racing.
We'll go to the entry list here next. We've mentioned quite a few of these drivers. I haven't counted how many are on here. Let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16 drivers are entered this weekend. And I'm not sure if you have it up, Andy.
I do.
But, okay, we can go two by two from the bottom. Just kind of going over the entry list. If you want, I can start, and then you can follow suit.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, we'll start with Wayne Peterson in the 06 from Pulaski, Tennessee. He'll be driving that 06 Chevrolet for Wayne Peterson with Michael Peterson on top of the pit box. Mike Shroop will be on top of the pit box for Tim Moreau in the number one Chevrolet for Hillenburg, and he hails from Elmwood, Illinois. So another local driver participating this weekend.
Absolutely, yeah. Next up, we've got a familiar name, Will Kilmel, in the number 69 Ford, with Bill Kilmel serving as the crew chief. And then we've got Brad Smith from Shelby Township, Michigan, in the number 48 Chevrolet. Of course, Jeff Smith will be his crew chief.
Okay. Taylor Gray is back in the number 48 Ford for David Gilliland Racing. And Chad Johnston will be on top of the pit box. Actually, I guess Johnny Gray has part ownership of that car as well. So in the number 27 Toyota for the Richmond Club race team is Zachary Tinkle from Speedway, Indiana. Wayne Peterson, I wonder how he's going to do that. He's going to be driving and crew chiefing for the number 27.
Must be multi-talented.
It must be.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that works out. Next up, we've got Tony Berninger in the number 25 Toyota. That's for Venturini Motorsports, with team owner Billy Venturini serving as her crew chief. And then Ryan Unzinger in the number 24 Chevrolet with Bill Hendren as the crew chief.
Okay. He hails from El Paso, Illinois. So as we mentioned, he is one of the local drivers. In the number 20 also for Billy, for Venturini Motorsports, will be Corey Heim. Shannon Rush will be his crew chief. And Corey Heim, for those who don't know, is from Marietta, Georgia. In the number 18 Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing will be Ty Gibbs from Huntersville, North Carolina. And Mark McFarland, a familiar name in racing, is his crew chief.
All right. In the number 16 Chevrolet, it's Kelly Kavosky from Sherman, Illinois, with John Hansen as crew chief. And then Jesse Love, of course, a longtime guest of the Fan for Racing radio show, in the number 15 Toyota from Redwood City, California, for Venturini Motorsports, Kevin Reed serving as his crew chief.
Okay. Dick Doheny will be the crew chief for the number 12 Hillenburg Toyota, driven by D.L. Wilson from Mark, Texas. And in the number 11 Ford for Andy Hillenburg will be Owen Smith from Louisa, Virginia. Owen Smith will be his crew chief. Well, will crew chief his own car, I guess.
There you go. Call him for his own adjustments. That way he can't get mad when the crew chief makes the wrong change, I suppose.
Exactly.
And as you already mentioned earlier, longtime fan favorite Kenny Schrader is the number 10 Toyota. That's another Andy Hillenburg entry from Fenton, Missouri, with Jeff McClure as the crew chief. And Landon Lewis in the number 2 Toyota. That is a Rev Racing entry owned by team owner Max Siegel. And Mark Rapp will serve as his crew chief. He hails from Ocean Isle Beach, North Carolina.
Okay. Do you have a favorite in this race? Andy, who do you think's going to win it?
Got to go with, my heart says Kenny Schrader. I've always liked Kenny from the beginning of time when I got into racing 20 and a half years ago. I've always enjoyed his personality. But if I've got to go with the realistic contender for the win, you can't bet against Ty Gibbs.
Ooh, you're going to go for Ty Gibbs. Well, then I've got to go for Corey Heim on this one.
Of course.
And you're right. Part of me wants to go with Ken Schrader, for the same reason. He's such a fan favorite. He's won at that track. He's going for the triple. So it's going to be a battle between those three drivers, without a doubt. I'd love to see Kenny Schrader get that triple win at DeCoin this weekend.
Yeah, it'll be fun to see how that unfolds. But certainly dirt track racing is always an enjoyable and fun time. And this is certainly going to be a fun race to watch. I would encourage everyone to, if you can't watch it live, I believe you said on MAV TV, and hopefully we can watch some highlights and see how that one unfolds.
Yes, yes, indeed. So definitely looking forward to the race this weekend at DeCoin. Next up, we're going to get into the NASCAR Truck Series. They are racing, Andy, at Darlington Raceway this weekend. I love the name of this race. In It to Win It 200 at Darlington Raceway. This will be their second race of their playoffs, if I remember correctly. Sunday, September the 5th. They'll be starting at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and the coverage will start at 1 p.m. on Fox Sports 1, radio coverage on MRN and Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90. The distance is 201.1 miles. That covers 147 laps. The first two stages are 45 laps each, with the stage one ending on lap 45, stage two on lap 90. The last stage ends on the last lap and will be 57 laps. 147 is the lap that ends the race. So scrolling all the way to the bottom now, we've got some things to cover here in the Camping World Truck Series from previous races.
Yeah, sorry. I'm just trying to find exactly the page you're on. I'm looking at the weekend preview Darlington Raceway, but I'm not sure I'm seeing that exact section.
No, that's not it. There should be news and notes up. Let me see. I get it in an email, but it's also on J-Ski's. Let me see if they've got it up. Maybe that. Here it is.
I found it.
Okay. All the way down to the bottom for the Truck Series.
Yep, here we go. We're in good shape here. Just pulling that up.
Yeah, Haley, I can go ahead and start, and you can take the next one. Haley Deegan is scoring her third best finish by a female in the series. David Gilliland Racing's Haley Deegan scored her career best finish of seventh just 2 weeks ago at WWT Raceway at Gateway. It's the third best finish by a female competitor in the Camping World Truck Series and the first top female not at Daytona International Speedway. Now, Deegan's making her second career start next weekend, that's this weekend, at Darlington. And earlier this season, she became the seventh different female competitor to compete at Darlington in the series. So she's going to join the other females that have done that. Jennifer Jo Cobb did it in 2010 and 2020, Joanna Long in 2011, Deborah Renshaw in 2004, Kelly Sutton and also in 2004, Terry McDonald in 2003, and Tina Gordon also in 2003. Now, the best finish by a female competitor in the truck series at Darlington is 14th by Jennifer Jo Cobb on August 14th of 2010. And that happened to be Jennifer Jo Cobb's track debut as well. Now, Deegan finished 20th in her season debut, series debut, at Darlington earlier this year. So we'll have to see if she can surpass Jennifer Jo Cobb's record of finishing 14th this weekend.
Well, there's always a strong possibility of that for sure. When you look at Deegan's progression throughout the course of the year, you know, she's getting better and better. So we'll have to see how that goes. Moving on to the Sunoco rookie update, Nice Motorsports' Carson Hocevar continues to be the Sunoco rookie of the year leader with 2,031 points following Gateway, which was playoff race number one. He's up 21 points on Chandler Smith from Kyle Busch Motorsports, who has 2010 as far as his points go. Hocevar and Smith are the only two rookies that have earned a spot in the playoffs this year. Hocevar made his track debut at Darlington. It was earlier this season. He actually finished a very impressive third place. Smith has made two series starts at Darlington, best finish of 23rd, which came last season.
Okay. Next up, we're going to be talking about clinch scenarios heading into Darlington. One race into the seven-race Camping World Truck Series playoffs, and GMS Racing's Sheldon Creed has already punched his ticket into that next round of the postseason with his win last week at Gateway. Now, while the Truck Series is off this, I should say last weekend, he is going to be racing at Darlington next week. I'm a little bit worried. Do I have the right notes here? I think so. Okay, so again, that race will start at 1 p.m. Eastern and on Sunday. So he is clinched. The following drivers are going to clinch on points. If there's a repeat winner or a win by a driver who cannot advance in the playoffs, these drivers could clinch by being 56 points above the seventh winless driver in the standings. The same point requirements listed below would hold true if a new win comes from among John Hunter Nemechek, Ben Rhodes, Matt Crafton, Stuart Friesen, Austin Hill, or Carson Hocevar, which pretty much includes the entire rest of the field. So John Hunter Nemechek can clinch with some help, along with Ben Rhodes, Matt Crafton, Stuart Friesen, Austin Hill, and Carson Hocevar. Now, if there's a new winner from Todd Gilliland or another winless driver lower in the standings but still eligible to advance in the playoffs, the following drivers could clinch by being 56 points above the sixth winless driver in the standings. That's John Hunter Nemechek, Ben Rhodes, Matt Crafton, and Austin Hill, pretty much the same drivers. Now, the following drivers can clinch on a win alone. That's John Hunter, Nemechek, Ben Rhodes, Crafton, Friesen, Hill, Carson Hocevar, Gilliland, Zane Smith, and Chandler Smith. So Zane Smith and Chandler Smith are the two drivers that are below the cut line right now because only eight drivers will advance when these races are over. Zane is 10 points back. Chandler is 18 points back. Todd Gilliland is in eighth place, 10 points above the cut line. Carson Hocevar is 13 points above. Austin Hill, 21 points above. Stuart Friesen, 31 points. Matt Crafton in fourth place is 33 points above the cut line. Ben Rhodes is 52 points up, and John Hunter Nemechek, 55 points up. Sheldon Creed, of course, is in on his wins, as we've already said. So some pretty interesting stats there regarding how drivers can clinch this weekend.
Absolutely, and the most sure-tried way, of course, of making that next round is to go out there and win Sunday. Which
without
Sheldon Creed did just that at Gateway at the Worldwide Technology Raceway a couple weeks ago. First race of the playoffs, he went out and won. and he's already sealed himself into the next round. I mean, quite frankly, put everybody on notice, Sharon. I think that, you know, he's proving that he's there to compete. But he wants to go out there and repeat the win that he did in the springtime. Certainly, he went out there and won that spring race, which was a pretty wild one, and he'll look to do the same thing. Last season, Creed was a championship four driver in the playoffs and won the season finale at Phoenix to take home the championship. This season, Creed is motivated at the opportunity to become just the second driver of all time to win back-to-back championships in the Camping World Truck Series, joining Matt Crafton in 2013 and 2014. And if he were to win the championship again this season, he would also become just the fifth driver with multiple titles in the series. We'll take a look at that list real quickly. Ron Hornaday has four titles. Matt Crafton has three titles. Jack Sprague has three titles as well. Todd Bodine with two. And then Sheldon Creed, of course, with the lone title from last year, but has that opportunity to join what I would call a pretty elite list of drivers, Sharon. Those are some big names with rich Truck Series history over the years. So that would be pretty impressive if he were able to do that.
Yes, indeed. So we're definitely looking forward to seeing what he does this weekend out at Darlington. Now, Darlington Raceway is the next stop for the playoff schedule as they roll into South Carolina for the second time this season at the track Too Tough to Tame. And for the In It to Win It 200, again at 1:30 p.m. on Sunday. Now, the 2021 season marks the first year that Darlington Raceway is taking part in the playoffs since the postseason inception in 2016. Darlington Raceway is a 1.366-mile egg-shaped paved oval that has hosted eight Truck Series races. And that egg shape is what makes this such a tricky track for the drivers, because the two corners at each end of the track are so different. So it makes it very, very interesting. The first truck race at Darlington Raceway was held on May the 12th, 2001, and the race was won by Bobby Hamilton in his own race team in a Dodge. In total, eight Truck Series races at Darlington have produced five different pole winners and six different race winners. This weekend's race, again, is going to be 147 laps, and GMS Racing's Sheldon Creed will start from the pole. Thor Sport Racing's three-time series champion Matt Crafton will join him in that front row. Surprisingly, none of the eight Truck Series races at Darlington have been won from the pole or the position. Bobby Hamilton in 2001 and 3. Casey Kane did it in 2004 and 11. They lead the series in wins at Darlington with those two wins. Sheldon Creed has one win there this year, and that was earlier this year. And then Ben Rhodes won at the 2020 race at Darlington. So, again, some things to look forward to here at Darlington in the Camping World Truck Series.
Yeah, it's going to be a really fun one. I've always enjoyed you know, any racing at Darlington. It's such a historic racetrack, but specifically, it was nice to see the Truck Series rejoin the schedule. It's a little bit bittersweet, though. This race was actually supposed to have been held at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, which unfortunately couldn't happen due to the ongoing COVID pandemic. So it was moved to Darlington. In my opinion, if you're going to move it anywhere, Darlington would be the logical place, and it now falls as the companion event with the Xfinity and Cup Series, who were originally scheduled to be there anyway. But, you know, unfortunate for those who wanted to obviously see that road course up in Canada, which does put on a fantastic racing. But it'll be fun to see a second race this season at Darlington for the Truck Series. And with it being a playoff race, you know it's going to be pretty wild and crazy. And it'll be fun to see who comes out on top. And it will be a day race, too, on Sunday afternoon. And as we all know, you know, a hot and slick Darlington Raceway means a lot of sliding around, high tire wear, and generally means good racing. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Me Too, as well as the NASCAR Xfinity Series race, the Sport Clips Haircuts VFW Helper Hero 200 will take place Saturday, September the 4th at 3:30 p.m. Eastern, and the pre-race coverage will be on NBC Sports Network starting at 3. Radio coverage, of course, is on MRN and SiriusXM NASCAR Channel 90. They'll be racing a distance, same distance, 201.1 miles, 147 laps, 45 laps for stage 1 and 2, and 57 laps for stage 3, which will end on the last lap, lap 147. So what do we have in the Xfinity Series, Andy?
Well, as we take a look here, we'll start out with a little bit of news that we've already alluded to, but we can go over it again real quickly to give the details. Cesar Barcarella, Tommy Joe Martin's partnering in 2022, and they've announced that they are forming effectively a new Xfinity Series team called Alpha Prime Racing. It's essentially going to morph out of the existing Tommy Joe Martin's team. And they've signed their first driver, which is Roger Carruth, who we've already spoken about, who is an ARCA Menard Series driver. And he won't be competing full-time, though. He will be running a limited schedule next season, which will open the seat up for other drivers, including Tommy Joe Martins himself. Cesar Barcarella heard that news and decided that working with Martins to create this new team was something that could lead to success for both of them. Right now, the team is working on filling out their driver roster for 22. Cesar Barcarella will run limited races while also competing in the Lamborghini Lance Epane World Challenge America GT3 Championship with TR3 Racing. Martins will run 10 to 15 races for the team as well. So that's an exciting opportunity there, as we've already mentioned, and we look forward to seeing how that will play out for next season.
Okay, and I'm sure everybody's heard this news already. It was announced earlier this week that Noah Gragson is returning to JRM in 2020. Of course, that's Junior Motorsports announced that the two-time winner, Noah Gragson, will be back with the team next year. The season will mark his fourth straight season for Gragson and Bass Pro Shops. True Timber Cambo, Black Rifle Coffee are also returning to the number 9 Chevrolet for the third straight season. Now, Gragson's made 89 starts with the team since 2019. His first victory came at Daytona in 2020. And in the same season, he won all Bristol Motor Speedway. He has 34 top fives, 61 top tens, and has made the playoffs in all three seasons with the team. Now, this season, he has 8 top fives, 14 top tens, and he's won 3 of the 4 Xfinity Dash for Cash prizes earlier this season. So great news hearing that Noah Gragson is back with Junior Motorsports. It sounds like they're headed toward perhaps a 5-car team this next season.
You know, and it's too bad Jay's not on here, because he would say, "I told you so," and I would be officially proven wrong, because I want to say it was a week ago that we debated his future and I didn't think he'd be back with the team, but I was wrong in that. So this is a good opportunity for him. I think that, to remain with the team for a third straight season, to get even more experience in the Xfinity Series isn't a bad thing. I think it's an opportunity for him to remain competitive and to contend for wins in a playoff berth next year. I think that it's probably the best scenario for them. And I had seen an interview in which Noah said that this was his number one desire, was to return with that team for next year. So certainly a great opportunity. As we take a look at moving on to the rookie standings, it's been a bit of a battle there, certainly for the rookie class. Ty Gibbs and Josh Berry have really been the two breakout stars for the rookie class here this season. They're both part-time drivers, but they have gone back and forth with the lead since the start of the season. Ty Gibbs has 8 awards, holding the lead over Josh Berry. So he has 447 points. Berry has 435 points, with 6 Rookie of the Race awards. So certainly that's a fairly tight battle. Gibbs has made 12 starts this season, 3 wins, 8 top fives, 8 top tens, and 12 starts. That's pretty impressive, with 1 pole award. And he is not entered to run this weekend, Barry has run 17 of the 24 races, has a win, 5 top fives and 10 top tens. He's also not going to be running at Darlington on Saturday. Ryan Vargas is third with 4 Rookie of the Race awards. Jade Buford is in fourth. Sam Mayer in fifth. Every driver in the rookie class has won at least one award throughout the season. Sam Mayer, I should note, is probably going to have some success throughout the rest of the season since he's running, I believe, the rest of the races in that 8 car for JR Motorsports. So look for him to possibly make some ground up on the rest of the rookie class. But certainly been a good battle there between Gibbs and Barry. Given the fact they're running a limited schedule, it's hard to say who's going to come out on top with that, but certainly been fun to watch.
Yes, indeed. The Xfinity Series, what is it, 3 races left in the Xfinity Series? And we'll talk about what they can do to clinch this weekend at Darlington and get their name on the list of 12 drivers that will be advancing. Now, 4 playoff spots are already up for grabs, as 8 drivers have already secured their spot in the postseason heading into Darlington. And those drivers include A.J. Allmendinger, Austin Cindric, Justin Allgaier, Daniel Hemric, Harrison Burton, Justin Haley, and Jeb Burton have all clinched their spot into the playoffs already. But now next are the drivers that if there's a repeat winner or a win by a driver who cannot advance to the playoffs, these drivers could clinch by being 111 points above the 5th winless driver in the standings. The same points requirements listed below would hold true if a new win comes from among Daniel Hemric, Harrison Burton, Brandon Jones, Noah Gragson, and then they would clinch with just 11 points. If there's a new winner from Jeremy Clements or another winless driver lower in the standings but still eligible to advance in the playoffs, these drivers could clinch by being 110 points above the 4th winless drivers, and there's only one, and that's Noah Gragson, and he would clinch with 20 points. Now, Matt Snyder could clinch with 1 point on because of his previous win. So he's going to pretty much clinch this weekend. Now, these drivers can clinch with a win. They're the winless drivers so far this season. Although Myatt Snyder has a win, doesn't he? I guess if he gets another win, it's going to help him.
It came at Homestead, so he should be locked in as it is.
So Noah Gragson, Brandon Jones, Jeremy Clements, Riley Herbst, and Myatt Snyder can clinch with a win alone. And also the drivers that are outside the playoffs right now, Ryan Sieg and Brandon Brown, would need a win in order to get in. Michael Lynette, Ryan Sieg, and Brandon Brown are all below. So they all need a win in order to get in. Michael Lynette's already been granted a waiver. He's only raced 19 of the 23 races on the season. Riley Herbst holds that spot above the cut line. He's 68 points up. And the group that's not clinched, Noah Gragson, Brandon Jones, Jeremy Clements, and Riley Herbst, are all looking to get a win this weekend for sure.
Yeah, they sure are. You know, and as you mentioned, 3 races left, Darlington, Richmond, Bristol, all unique racetracks. You've got the 2 tough to tame track, of course, at Darlington this weekend, and then you've got 2 short tracks. So I think it could get pretty interesting in terms of the final playoff rundown for sure. So that'll be interesting to watch. Still a lot of racing left as well. So we'll have to keep an eye on the Xfinity Series. It could get pretty crazy the next 3 weeks.
It could.
One name that returns to the Xfinity Series that we haven't seen all year, Cup Series veteran Denny Hamlin, of course, generally will run this Darlington race every season. He's back to drive the 54 machine for Joe Gibbs Racing this weekend, which automatically, I think, makes him the favorite for this win. I was hoping that he would go unnoticed in our fantasy points. Mike Orzel, of course, was the one to beat me to the punch on that pick. Certainly would have been my number one going into this weekend. But nonetheless, he's got 13 starts at Darlington. in the series, the Xfinity series, with 5 wins, 10 top 5s, 12 top 10s, and 5 poles. In every race that he started on the pole, he ended up winning. He competed in this race last season for JGR and started 37th to finish 5th. He led 586 laps and has completed 100% of those laps attempted. He has an average start of 11.4 and an average finish of 5.6. In the Cup Series, Hamlin has 18 starts at Darlington with 3 wins, 10 top 5s, and 14 top 10s. He has an average start of 8.8 with an average finish of 7.4. He has led 598 laps, and his most recent win there was in June of last year. He will start 14th on Saturday, and it will be, of course, his first Xfinity Series start of 2021.
Yeah, that's going to make it exciting. I remember watching Denny Hamlin in the Xfinity Series, and these drivers love racing against him. So I think they're going to enjoy having him back on the track at Darlington. Okay, now the battle for the regular season championship has heated up, with Team Penske's Austin Cindric finishing 39th at Daytona last weekend, coupled with Colleague Racing's AJ Allmendinger winning that race, or nearly winning it. He actually finished runner-up. The pendulum in the NASCAR Xfinity Series driver standings lead has swung to Allmendinger's advantage. He's up by 17 points with just the 3 races left to run. Now, prior to losing the Xfinity Series driver standings last weekend at Daytona, Ostrich held that number one spot all season long, Austin Cindric. Cindric won the regular season championship last year and is looking to become the first driver to win multiple season titles. Now, the last 4 drivers to win a title are Austin Cindric, Tyler Reddick, Justin Allgaier, and Elliott Sadler. Now, Allmendinger would love to add his name to that list. He's been outstanding over the last 7 races, closing the points gap between Cindric and himself by more than 100 points, including 3 runner-up finishes and a win at Michigan in the last 4 races. Allmendinger has just 3 races left this year to hold on to that points lead and become the 5th different driver to win the regular season championship and collect the 15 additional playoff points. He's made his track debut at Darlington earlier this season. He started 1st and finished 13th. Cindric has made 5 starts at Darlington, posting 1 top 5 and 2 top 10. His best finish was a 4th, and that was last year. I think I'd give the edge to Cindric on this particular track, but we'll see what happens. What do you think, Andy?
Well, I went with Cindric for this weekend. I do think that you know, he's going to run really well and have a chance at it. And it is interesting, though, to see this championship battle heat up, because to begin the season, I would have expected Cindric to totally run away with it. But that hasn't necessarily been the case. He's had a good year, but not quite the year that I would have expected. So it's still a very tight championship battle. The colleague cars have certainly made it interesting, specifically with AJ Allmendinger. So definitely a lot of racing left, and definitely not over by any means.
Okay, we'll summarize these next 2 because we're down to only about 6 minutes left.
All right, yeah, just looking at, I guess, facts and figures here real quick. Darlington edition, 62 Xfinity Series races with 29 pole winners, 34 different race winners. First race was back in 1982. That was won by Jeff Bodine. Chase Elliott holds the record for the youngest winner at 18 years old. That was back in 2014. Dick Trickle's the oldest winner at 56 years old. Only 15 races have been won from the pole or first starting position. Most recently, Denny Hamlin back in 2017. The race record is at 141 miles an hour in 2015 by Denny Hamlin. Carl Edwards holds the Xfinity Series Darlington qualifying record at 176.994. That was in 2008. Xfinity Series last was there in the springtime, so they get 2 races there this year. That was Justin Allgaier who won that race, and his margin of victory was over teammate Josh Berry, 0.4 seconds.
Okay, very good, Andy. the playoffs on the horizon, 3 races left in the regular season. We've kind of referenced that already. Justin Haley punched his ticket last weekend to the 2021 playoffs with his first win of the season. Now, Daytona always produces exciting finishes, and that was no different with Haley winning by a very close margin, 0.023 seconds over his teammate, A.J. Allmendinger, who took the right flag in front of the field. But in a three-wide finish, it was Haley that came out victorious. And Colic Racing's been phenomenal this year. All three of Colic Racing's drivers have locked into the playoffs. And the race was, we mentioned this already, it was originally supposed to run under the lights Friday evening, but rain postponed the event to a doubleheader at Daytona. There were 17 lead changes, 7 cautions for 29 laps, and Justin Allgaier was the driver who actually finished third. He was able to pass Jeb Burton right at the end there, and Daniel Hemric rounded out the top five. The Xfinity Series champion, Austin Cindric, who is leading the point standings, was involved in a crash that left him with a 39th place finish after heading into the weekend with the lead. He lost that lead, as we've mentioned, by 17 points to A.J. Allmendinger. Now, Hemric in the number 18, Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota, will lead the field to green this weekend, and Allmendinger will join him on the front row. So that's pretty cool to see that. Okay, now, real quick, I believe that Jay left me some notes here. Let's see if I can find it. I was going to see if I could give a real quick update here on the fantasy point standings, but I think these notes are kind of buried for our group. Do you know where they are? Did he leave them in Hot Topics, or have you seen them?
I have not seen them, unfortunately.
Okay, because they're buried right now, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. Apologies. I'll have to keep looking for that. But let's go ahead and get into the Cup Series because, again, time is going to be winding down here. The Cookout Southern 500 will take place at Darlington Raceway on Sunday at 6 p.m. That's September the 5th. Pre-race coverage will be on NBC Sports Network at 5:30. And radio coverage on MRN and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90. This race will be a little bit longer, 501.3 miles, over 367 laps. The first two stages are 115 laps each. Stage one ends on lap 115, stage two on lap 230, and the last stage ends on the last lap, 367, and my math's not quick enough for me to tell you what that number of laps is.
I think it is 367 laps or 500 miles. That would make sense.
Okay. So what do we have for the Cup Series here?
All right, just scrolling to the bottom here real quick to get to the beginning of the Cup Series stuff. So this, of course, is the first playoff race of the Cup Series. Just taking a look here. First off, with Ryan Blaney, we got to talk about the hot streak that he's been on, of course. He's looking for three straight Cup wins, coming off wins at Daytona and Michigan, of course. If he's able to accomplish his third straight victory, he will be the 23rd different driver to accomplish that feat, joining Kyle Larson, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, Brad Keselowski, and Joey Logano. So obviously some big names there. Taking a look at the next topic here, which also involves Ryan Blaney, Advanced Auto Parts, which of course is one of his sponsors, awards $1,200 to NASCAR Short Track following Ryan Blaney's win. One of the leading automotive aftermarket parts retailers and entitlement sponsor of the Advanced Auto Parts Weekly Series. They'll award $1,200 to Limelin Motorsports Park in Ellida, Idaho, and Bethel Motor Speedway in White Lake, New York, after Ryan Blaney captured his third Cup Series win of the season at Daytona. They're using its associate sponsorship of Blaney and the Team Penske number 12 Ford to highlight NASCAR-sanctioned local tracks across the U.S. and Canada that are part of that weekly series. Lamolin and Bethel were featured on Blaney's car at Daytona, and for every victory in 2021, $1,200 will be used for donated to a short track for their operations, local driver winnings, or supporting a charity of the track's choosing. So that's pretty exciting news there. And, of course, this weekend, highlighting local short tracks, Blaney will have Florence Motor Speedway, which is right near Darlington, and Claremont Motorsports Park on the car at Darlington Raceway this weekend.
Okay. Team Penske has been looking. Did you cover the three straight wins? You covered the Auto Parts Award. You covered both of those, right?
I did, yeah. Kind of grouped them together.
Okay, that's fine. now, so far this year, we've seen some really good competition in the NASCAR Cup Series. And the regular season has been deemed one of the best, and the numbers certainly match the eye test. Now, the first 26 races were pretty phenomenal from a statistic standpoint, and perhaps even record-breaking. The 2021 regular season saw 14 different winners, which is tied for the second highest number in the playoff era with 2017, 12, and 7, just one win shy of the playoff era record of 15 different winners that was set in 2014. This season's also seen an increase in the number of green flag passes, plus 13.2%. compared to last year, and the highest total of green flag passes for the lead through 26 races, 79,767. That's the most since 2007. In addition, the Cup Series season is averaging 26.7 green flag passes for the leads per race, up 20.8% from the 15-year average of 22.1 per race for the first 26 races of the season. During the regular season, three tracks have seen records set for green flag passes for the lead. That includes Homestead Miami Speedway, 34, Las Vegas Motor Speedway with 56, and Michigan with 42. So some interesting stats there. I know we talked about the number of different winners. At the beginning of the year, we were wondering if we would make it to 16 different winners this year. 14 is not shabby.
No, it's really not. Actually, I was one that did think we could see 16. We did not, but 14 is still pretty good. Taking a look at the playoff seeding order going into Darlington, of course, race number one of the 2021 playoffs. Kyle Larson is first, Ryan Blaney second, Martin Truex Jr. ranks third, Kyle Busch in fourth, Chase Elliott fifth, Alex Bowman, Denny Hamlin, William Byron, Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, Kurt Busch, Christopher Bell, Michael McDowell, Eric Almirola, Tyler Reddick, and believe it or not, Kevin Harvick actually ranks as the last playoff car in 16th. Not something I thought I would see, but given Stewart Haas Racing's difficult season, that's where they wind up. So there's your playoff field as they kick things off this weekend in Darlington.
Okay. It's a pretty good field. Now, since the inception of the postseason in 2004, 42 different drivers have qualified for the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs, including this season's 16-driver field. Three drivers this season are making their playoff career debut. That includes Christopher Bell, Michael McDowell, and Tyler Reddick. The veterans, Denny Hamlin and Kevin Harvick and Kurt Busch, are making their Cup Series record-tying 15th playoff appearance, tied with Jimmy Johnson for the most all-time. Nine former Cup Series champions make up this season's 16-driver playoff field, including Kyle Busch is the only active competitor with multiple championships. He won the championship in 2015 and in 19. So seven different organizations are represented this season in the postseason. Hendrick Motorsports and Joe Gibbs Racing are getting all four of their teams into the postseason. So that's very noteworthy. Also, all three Cup Series official engine manufacturers have qualified for the playoffs as well, led by Ford with 7 entries into the postseason. Chevrolet has 5 and Toyota has 4. Looking ahead to Darlington, there are 6 former winners that are entered in the race this weekend, led by Kevin Harvick. He won in twice in 2020 and once in 2014. Denny Hamlin won in 2020, 17 and in 10, and so they both have 3 apiece. So I don't know, do we want to go over those drivers and their stats for this year?
That's up to you, I suppose.
Let's come back to that if we have time. Okay. You can cover the clinch scenarios.
All right. Let me take a look at that. I lost my place here, so just trying to figure this out. A lot of information here for the Cup Series, of course, as there should be, given the fact that we are into the playoffs. So just looking at the playoff structure. Just bear with me here a second. Unless you have it right in front of you, Sharon. I somehow lost my place here, unfortunately.
Okay,
so,
let me go ahead. Just a quick rundown of the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs. The playoff format is competed over the last 10 races, including 16 drivers in 4 rounds. The 4 rounds are, of course, the round of 16, 12, and 8. And then the final round is that championship 4. A victory in the first 26 races guarantees a berth in the 10-race playoffs. The number of playoff drivers in contention in the championship decreased after every 3 playoff races. So after this round, 16 will pare down to 12, it'll pare down to 12 after race number 3, 8 after race number 6, and 4 after race number 9. The first 3 races, 27 to 29, will be known as the round of 16. Races 30 to 32 will be known as the round of 12, and races 33 to 35, the round of 8. The last race is the numbers race, and that is for the championship 4. The win by a championship-eligible driver in the playoff race automatically clinches the winning driver a spot in the next round. 4 drivers entered in the championship race with a chance at the title, with the highest finisher among those 4 capturing the prestigious Cup Series championship. Let's see. I think everybody pretty much knows all of this stuff. So let's move up here. Let's look at the history of Darlington Raceway as a challenge itself for the competitors.
All right. Yeah, historical Darlington Raceway. It is a challenge, of course, and this is the crown jewel events, but it's the perfect stage for the Cup Series playoff opener, which is the Cookout Southern 500. Of course, we've already mentioned that will be Sunday at 6. Originally, the track was built as a 1.2-mile paved super speedway in 1949 to 1950. It hosted the first 500-mile event in NASCAR history and the first on asphalt in September 4th of 1950. 75 cars, wow, completed in that inaugural event. Curtis Turner won the pole, and the race was won by Johnny Mance in a Plymouth in a race that took 6 hours and 38 minutes, 40 seconds to compete. That's crazy how long that took.
That's amazing.
They've undergone some changes throughout the years. In 1953, the track was remeasured to 1.375 miles, and then in 1970 reconfigured to 1.366, which is the current configuration. The track was repaved in 1995 and then again prior to 2008, and over the years, the historic facility has become known, of course, as the track too tough to tame. In 120 Cup Series races, they've produced 51 different pole winners, 51 different race winners. 6 of the 51 Cup Series pole winners are active this weekend, which includes Kevin Harvick, Kurt Busch, Brad Keselowski, Ryan Newman, Denny Hamlin, and William Byron. NASCAR Hall of Famer David Pearson leads the series in poles with 12. Kevin Harvick leads all active drivers with 2 poles. Or 2 each, I should say. And then Let's see, of the 51 Cup Series Darlington winners, six are active, as we just mentioned. And this weekend's race, of course, will be 500 miles, 367 laps, as you already mentioned, Sharon. And the lineup for this race, I'm not sure if we've gone over that yet or not. It was, of course, determined by the qualifying metric, and as a result, Ryan Blaney starts from the pole. Denny Hamlin joins him on the front row. The first starting position is the most proficient starting position, of course, producing more winners starting from the pole than any other starting position at Darlington. So certainly track position reigns supreme here, as it does most places. In total of 20 of the 120 Cup Series events, they've been won from the pole or the first starting position. Most recently, the most recent driver to accomplish that feat was Kevin Harvick in 2014.
Yes, indeed. Now, I'm surprised they didn't mention they did do a repave this since the last race at Darlington over in Turn 2. And I know some of the drivers are saying it's a little bit of an unknown on how that's going to play out this weekend. The drivers don't really know whether to expect grip, and a lot of that depends on the weather. So that'll be interesting to watch as well. This is the playoff opener for the NASCAR Cup Series. And Darlington Raceway is the fourth track to host the first race of the Cup Series postseason. New Hampshire Motor Speedway hosted the first race from the playoffs from 2004 to 10. Then Chicagoland Speedway held the first race of the playoffs from 2011 to 17. And then Las Vegas Motor Speedway hosted the first race of the playoffs from 2018 to 19. So going to be pretty fun to watch. This first round is Darlington, Richmond, and Bristol. Bristol's going to be the cutoff race, and that's on September the 18th. The next round is Las Vegas, Talladega, and Charlotte. With Charlotte being, that's the Charlotte Road Course, will be the cutoff race taking place on October the 10th. And then the next round is Texas, Kansas, and Martinsville, with Martinsville being the cutoff race for the final four, and that'll take place on Sunday, October the 31st. Phoenix will be the championship race on Sunday, November the 7th. Prior to the 2020 season, Darlington Raceway hosted just one other playoff race, and that was the penultimate event in the inaugural playoffs in 2004. That race was run by seven-time series champion and former Hendrick Motorsports driver Jimmy Johnson. The opening race of the Cup Series playoffs has gone on to win the title four different times. In 2004, the inaugural Cup playoffs, Kurt Busch won the opening race at New Hampshire and went on to win the title. In 2011, the race was delayed until Monday because of rain, but Tony Stewart won the first race of the season in Chicago to open the playoffs and then went on to set the record for the most wins in a playoff run with five victories and the title. That was an amazing year. In 2012, Brad Keselowski won the playoff race at Chicago, then went on to win the title. And in 2017, Martin Truex Jr. won the playoff race at Chicago and then went on to win the championship that same year. Another reason why they should still have Chicago open.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely producing good racing there over the years.
They have finished in the opening race of the playoffs by a driver that went on to win the title was Jimmy Johnson's 39th place finish at New Hampshire Motor Speedway in 2006. The worst finish in the opening playoff race at Chicago for a driver that went on to win the title was Jimmy Johnson's 12th place finish in 2016. And the worst finishing in the opening of the playoffs at Las Vegas by a driver that went on to win the title was Kyle Busch's 19th place finish in 2019. Last year, Chase Elliott finished 20th at Darlington and then went on to win the playoffs and the title. No non-playoff driver has ever won the opening race of the playoffs, and since the inception of the elimination-style format of the playoffs in 2014, entering the playoffs in the number one seed has been the most successful seeding, producing three championships among two drivers. Kyle Busch in 2015 and 19, and Martin Truex in 2017. The deepest seed and eventual champion has started the playoffs with seventh by Kevin Harvick in 2014 and Joey Logano in 2018. Elliott was seeded fifth last season entering the playoffs. So some interesting stats there as we think about these playoffs. Let's go ahead and go back to these drivers. We'll go two by two from the bottom up with some of the stats there for these drivers going into the playoffs this weekend.
All right, sounds good. I'll have you just start out real quick, and then I'll get back to that point.
Okay. We'll start with Kevin Harvick in the number four for Stewart Haas Racing. He's 16th seed, 2002 points. He's made 27 starts at Darlington, grabbing three wins in 2014, one in 2020, and three in 2020. What does that mean? Three starts? last year they did play at Darlington three times. Okay, 11 top fives. The series most among active drivers. He has 16 top 10s. He is the defending winner of this event last year, and he's still looking for his first victory of the 2021 season. I'm not going to be surprised if Kevin Harvick comes out with a win at Darlington. There's also Tyler Reddick, the number eight for Richard Childress Racing, heads into the playoffs with the number 15 seed with 2003 points. He's made four starts at Darlington, posting one top 10 finish. Then that was a seventh place.
Sorry, Sharon. I don't know where we're at. I'm just trying to find this and
okay.
All this information here. So
I'll keep going two by two and checking in with you then.
Oh, I see where we're at. We've got the playoff outlook. Is that where we're looking at right now?
Yeah, we're just going over the different drivers, scouting the playoffs.
Eric Almirola is the number 14 seed with 2005 points with one race win. Here in 2021, he had no stage wins, playoff points with five, and 0 points from the cutoff is what I'm showing right now.
Actually, I think you want to look at the section that the title of the section is actually scouting the playoff field, and then it goes to championship playoff era. It ranks the drivers.
Oh, yeah.
But then it gives every driver individually and some of their stats.
Oh, I see where I get confused because I kind of went through this quickly earlier, and I see that we're going back to it. Okay, gotcha. All right, so Eric Almirola, number 10. Stewart Haas Racing Ford rolls into Darlington as the number 14 seed. He's got 2,005 points. 12 series starts at Darlington with two top 10s. And Michael McDowell, of course, in the playoffs because of his Daytona 500 victory. He's the number 13 seed with 2,005 points. He's made 12 starts at Darlington, putting up a best finish of 16th. And that was last season.
Okay. I'm kind of lost now. Christopher Bell in the number 20 for Joe Gibbs Racing is 2,005 points in 12th. He's made four starts at Darlington with a best finish of 11th. Kurt Busch in the number one for Chip Ganassi Racing is 11th seed at 2,008 points. 27 starts at Darlington gives him four top fives and 11 top tens.
Ranks up next, of course, as the number 10 seed. He's got 2,008 points. He's made 15 starts at Darlington, including a win in 2018, five top five, seven top tens. Teammate Joey Logano in the number 22 Ford is the number 9 seed. He's got 2,013 points. He has 15 starts at Darlington with four top fives, seven top tens.
Okay, William Byron in the number 24 for Hendrick Motorsports, number 8 seed, 2014 points. The six starts at Darlington has given him two top fives and two top tens. Denny Hamlin, the number 11, heads to Darlington as number 7 seed at 2015 points. 18 starts at Darlington. He's put up three wins and 10 top fives and 14 top tens. Some pretty impressive stats.
All right, Alex Bowman, of course, is the number 16. He's had quite a season this year. Eight starts at Darlington with a top five and two top tens. Chase Elliott, of course, the number five seed, which is the same seeding that he started last season with, of course, and then went on to win the title. He's made nine starts at Darlington with two top fives and four top tens.
Okay. Kyle Busch in the number 18 at Joe Gibbs Racing heads to Darlington, number four seed, with 2,022 points and 19 series starts. He's posted one win in 2008, six top fives, and 13 top tens. Martin Truex Jr., the number three seed in the number 19 Joe Gibbs Racing machine, has made 19 starts at Darlington, posting two wins in 16 and 21, three top fives, and nine top tens.
All right, in the final two, of course, Ryan Blaney is number two, of course, coming off two straight wins, which were, of course, at Michigan Daytona to close out the regular season. Blaney has nine starts at Darlington, with only one top 10 finish, surprisingly enough. I'm sure he'll look to improve upon that this weekend. And the number one seed, with no surprise, by quite a large margin, Kyle Larson, of course, seven starts at Darlington with four top fives and six top tens.
Yes, indeed. Okay, Andy, I was able to manage to find these points for I'm going to try to cover this. Yeah, here's the truck series. In the truck series, we'll start with that. I happen to have the lead there. It's the only series I'm doing good in. 62 points over you, Andy. And actually, it's a three-way tie between you, Jay, and Mike, all at 59 points. So you guys are right on my heels. And then Tommy is there in the next spot. At 54 points, he's just 5 points behind you guys. Owen, 3 points behind him at 51 points. Sam at 38, and James at 34 points. In the Xfinity series, okay, let me see if I've got this right. In the Xfinity series, it's Sam at the top, and I think that's the Cup series. Okay, this is the Xfinity series. In the Xfinity series, it's Mike at the top with 78 points. Andy, you're right on his heels at 76 points. Sam is at 72, Jay at 70, so just an 8-point spread between the top four there. James at 69, Owen at 66, Tommy at 60, also at 66, and I am bringing up the rear here at 64 points in the Xfinity series. In the Cup series, it is Sam Bornhorst at the top of the list. He's at 114 points. 2 points behind him is Jay. Then it's Mike at 109, me at 100, Owen at 99, James at 92, Tommy at 91, and Andy, bless your heart, at 50 points.
I'm sticking with my driver. I know it's been a tough year, but it's going to pay off eventually.
It will pay off eventually. You are right. Overall, Mike has the points lead right now at 246 points. Right behind him is Jay at 241. I'm a distant third place at 226 points. But Sam is just 2 points behind me at 224. Owen at 216, Tommy at 211, James at 195, and Andy at 185. So there you have it for the Fan for Racing Fantasy Group in the series point standings. And I think we're right on track to be able to end our show on time, Andy.
I think so. And certainly always appreciate the fantasy points updates. And it should be noted that now that we're in playoff season, I believe we get double points. So these leads and shifting of position within those fantasy point standings can change drastically. So definitely not over yet for most of us. I don't know that I'm in the running for the overall points lead. That's okay. But,
neither,
you know, I think
Andy,
as far as is some of those toward the top, I think that things can shift either way. So it should be fun to watch, and going into double points certainly means larger shifts in points with every given week.
That's right. The good days are really good and the bad days are really bad. So we'll have to see what happens with this group as the playoffs continue. Three more races for us to get into the playoffs for the Xfinity Series. But now we've got the Truck Series and the Cup Series entering the playoffs, with the first race for the Cup Series this weekend, along with the second race for the Truck Series this weekend, all at Darlington. One of my favorite race weekends.
Yeah, it is for me too. I don't even know if I told you guys, but I'm actually going to go down there tomorrow for this weekend. So, I'm pretty excited about it. I've never been before, but it's such a historic track, and it's Labor Day weekend. It's the Southern 500. It was one of these ones that definitely wanted to do it at some point, and that'll be this year. So looking forward to it. All three series, obviously. Yeah, it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. It's been, fortunately for me, been a pretty good year of racing, trying to make up for lost time last year. So I'm looking forward to that. And it should be a lot of fun. And, you know, whether you're there or watching on TV, though, Darlington's always just a fun weekend. It's a traditional weekend. It's one of our crown jewel events, and, you know, it's something to be excited about. So certainly looking forward to it.
Absolutely. I think everybody is looking forward to it. And I'm jealous, Andy. Darlington is certainly one of my bucket list tracks that I would love to get to. My traveling days have been a little bit limited. I've had such a busy schedule that I've not been able to get to too many tracks here recently, but that's going to change eventually. And hopefully I'll be back at the track with some of these racing events. But we're definitely looking forward to the whole weekend of racing. Don't forget, there's going to be a fun race at DeCoin this weekend as well in the ARCA Menards series. And that series is winding down its season. Four races left to go in the ARCA Menards series. And they've had a busy summer, but it's going to start to slow down a little bit for them too. So this is kind of the season rush, if you will, the end of the season rush. So, Andy, I hope you have safe travels out there to Darlington this weekend. Enjoy the races, and we'll look forward to seeing you. Will you be able to join us on Tuesday night?
No, yet. I guess I would say to be determined on Tuesday, hopefully things will work out. And, looking forward to this weekend. Hope everyone enjoys it. Should be a good one for sure. Of course, everyone hopefully will enjoy the holiday weekend.
Okay. Take care, everybody. We'll see you on the other side. Enjoy your holiday weekend with your family and friends, and be safe. Take care.
Have a good one.
Good night.